All right, legends, welcome to the Gym Boss Podcast. This is a different episode again. Special guest we have on today is Blake Worrell Thompson. And he's actually, we've known each other for years, started in the fitness game, running in the same sort of circles, but has broken away now into the three core things that he's really obsessive about in his passion is peak performance, mindset, and personal fulfillment. And we're actually going to be transitioning and talking with those three concepts, though, about business. And he said something really cool before we turned it on. So it was business problems are personal problems that are wrapped up as business problems. So I'll say that again, because business problems are personal problems that can appear to be business problems. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to be diving deeper into that. So if you feel like you are stuck at some point in your business, maybe hit a ceiling or something, we're going to go into peak performance with Blake here today about starting with self-awareness. But before we even do, Blake, welcome, man. It's good to have you on.
Big fella, it's good to see you after a number of years apart.
Yeah, I know. And both of us are now on different paths now. We both were in the fitness game and now still helping people, but in different paths, which is fun. Do you want to fill us in, though, a little bit, like what brought you from the fitness game to now bring you over into this direction of like personal development and peak performance?
Well, mate, for me, you know, like I was really fortunate to love the health and fitness game for 15 out of the 16 years that I was there. And I think that's obviously super valuable, as you know, to, I guess, the people that that listen to your show, is that you and I have been there. And having spent, you know, I don't know how many years you did, but 15 years really puts me in the dinosaur category of the health and fitness space, you know, it's such a high turnover and, you know, people kind of coming and going. But in the last probably couple of years of that, I really started to want to have a bigger impact than I felt like I was having. And I really started to see that my interest lied in understanding humans better, understanding how to get more out of themselves. And also, I guess, on a selfish but personal level, really understanding how I operate, how to get the most out of myself, and also looking at a lot of the mess that I made.
Talk more about that.
I don't even know if you know this story.
No, because I know, like, we're friends on Facebook, and we sort of follow each other along and stuff. But if this is the first time people coming across you, you said something about the mess that you've made. Expand on that, man. Tell us. It sounds juicy.
Oh, mate, there's a lot of juice in it, to be honest. But it you know, I had a really interesting upbringing, and for those who don't know the significance or the importance of that, it's massive. You know, especially even with you and your juniors running around the home. That 0 to 7 period is known as the imprint period. And so much of your beliefs, in fact, 95% of your beliefs, patterning, programming, et cetera, is created in that first 7 years. So mine was really interesting. And for me, over the last, you know, 5, 6 years in particular, it's been a lot of unprogramming, unlearning, reprogramming, relearning. But essentially what happened coming up to 4 years ago was that I actually filed for bankruptcy in my business. And it was a profitable, pretty healthy business, but I just got myself into an absolute mess. And, you know, 6 months prior to that, I'd studied NLP. So I kind of saw the writing on the wall, but NLP was the real game changer for me, which really started to have me, one, improve my self-awareness, but two, really start to open my eyes. You know, and as you and I were talking about before the call, once your eyes are open, you see things very differently. You know, 100%. You go from almost this narrow vision, narrow mindset to really this bird's eye view.
I call that seeing the matrix.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Oh, mate, 100%. 100%. If you look into the actual science behind the matrix as well, you're not far off at all. And so essentially I saw the writing on the wall. I was like, fuck, I've got myself into an absolute pickle here. Now this is how it makes sense. And, you know, and just spent 3 to 4 years really unpacking, you know, how I got myself in that position to make sure I'd never get myself into that position again. And, you know, obviously from that pain, you know, and I'm sure a lot of the people that listen to you as well, often from your pain, peak or pivotal moments become, you know, somewhat of a passion. And, you know, this is what I've become super passionate about. And I think it's always been there. I've always been massive on self-development. So it was always there, but it's just, you know, risen to another level. And that was when I just dived headfirst into all things human behavior, mindset, limiting beliefs, and noticing, you know, as you said, they kind of transpire over all areas of your life. You don't just pick and choose where your limiting beliefs are. You know, how you do one thing is how you do all. And, you know, if you've got limiting beliefs or you've got self-worth issues or you've got ways in which you're, you know, sabotaging your own success, it's probably going to show up in your business. And for me, you know, you can have the best coach, someone like yourself, you know, and other coaches or people that help you in your gym business. But if you don't understand the significance of your own mindset, you know, it doesn't matter how savvy the person is that you're working with, you're going to find a way to fuck it up. And that's why I think it's really important to understand your elements, you know, or different elements of a business. And one that's heavily underutilized is that of mindset.
I like that, man, because let's go back now to the opening statement, how business problems, personal problems wrapped up as business problems. Can you unpack that a bit, help people understand that? Because it is a bit of a tongue twister, but sure. Get people to sort of unpack that a little bit. Because I think you were also talking about starts with the awareness piece first.
100%. So one of the things when you're looking at your awareness is really to start with your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. And they dictate a lot of what you're doing. So for example, you know, if we're going fitness space and more talking to, you know, your clients is, you can have an intention to eat well, but you continuously fall off the bandwagon, or you get close and you fall off the bandwagon. So to give you a perfect example, you know, back in the fitness days, but when I was starting to, you know, implement mindset into what I was doing, a client got really close 3 times to her goal weight. And obviously for me now, goal weight is a very different conversation. I'm definitely not fixated on the way that I used to be. But I noticed it happened 3 times over like a 6 or 7 month period. The first time she got super close, she got injured. Second time she got sick, and third time she had a blowout. And if you're looking at it from the outside, you would just assume that it was bad luck. But I was like, 3 times in like the space of 6 or 7 months?
Yeah.
For me, I think there's got to be more. So I actually started to do some work with her. And what we uncovered was that the last time she was her leanest, back in like year 11, I think it was, straight after that, she got glandular fever. So what's interesting about our brain is it's always looking out for the best for us. So what that actually did in her brain was go, well, when you get super lean and super fit, you get sick, and we don't want that. So we're going to find a way to sabotage your own success. So there's an example. For some of us, we've been so wired into believing money's the root of all evil, and it's wired into our DNA from such a young age, the programming, the 0 to 7 from our parents most of the time, that if our brain believes that we're going to be a bad person, or we're going to be greedy, or we're going to be evil with a lot of money, then we will find ways to sabotage our own success.
And that is interesting, that about the money as the root of all evil, because that is something that is portrayed through like kids' cartoons. Now that I'm a parent, and now that I'm aware of these sorts of things, I notice it when I meet other, as I said to you before we started, other dads or mums. When we're at the park and the kids are playing, you just meet a random parent, they're like, kids start playing and they'll make a comment. And you're like, oh man, they're like, that's a really poor money mindset. Like, you don't say it to them, but you can notice these things only once you become aware of it though. And it's really strange. Like the bad guy in almost everything is always rich.
Yep.
Like, especially kids' cartoons. Like this is one my boy watches called Paw Patrol. He's this rich old dude. He's got this big mustache and he's got a nice suit and everything. So it's like suits and, you know, rich people are bad guys. Like, and that's, it's really bizarre to see. But as you said, now once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's everywhere.
Well, that's the thing, mate, is, you know, and for a lot of people, they won't know that this is operating in the background until they really start to be what I call the objective observer of your thoughts. And the challenge.
Sorry, can I just cut in? This is a really interesting way to look at it. How do you even know that you, as you say, you're not aware of this stuff? Do you have to get somebody like a coach to come in and go, hey, this is what's going on? Or a friend or family member, if you see a lot of like the similarities across different relationships in your life, and then you might be like, oh, hang on a minute, maybe I need to look into that, or Like, because it's tough to do to start if you are unaware. So how does it all start?
Great question. And it's a really good point, because one of the challenges for many of us is our reality is true. And when you really grasp that, but you also grasp the fact that 8.1 billion realities are different to yours, because no two people have walked the same path. So there's no two people on this planet that have the exact same DNA and reality. So why that becomes important is because for a lot of us, we're really attached to what we believe to be true. And we, through our reticular activating system, part of our brain, we seek out evidence to support what is already true.
Social media.
So one of the things for me, when I realized that money wasn't the root of all evil, I had to really find evidence to support a new way of being. We've spoken about Taki Moore before we jumped on, and he was my business coach at the time. I was like, this dude is an absolute legend, killing it financially. And there was my first bit of evidence to go, okay, money isn't the root of all evil, and people aren't necessarily greedy or bad. So that's one thing. When you start to waken up to the fact that you've got a limiting belief, which we'll go back to in a sec, you really want to be able to start to find evidence to support it. So when you're coming back, if you're coming back to kind of, okay, maybe I've got a limiting belief or a limiting system, but how do I find it? Well, your results in your life will tell you somewhat of a story. If your bank account's empty, it's no surprise. If your relationships aren't working, no surprise. If you carry an extra weight, there's no surprise that at some level, there's limiting beliefs. So what is important is to become the objective observer. And what I mean by that is just observing your thoughts, not labeling them good, bad, or indifferent, but just going, oh, I noticed that I think money's hard. Cool. There probably is evidence to support that. And there's evidence to support that money doesn't have to be hard. So not necessarily labeling it, you know, a good or a bad belief, but just observing the belief in the first place. And if you're starting this process, you will likely find the awareness bit quite slow. You might notice just one thought, you know, a day. I think we have something stupid, 10,000 thoughts a day or something like that. You're not going to notice all of them. But sure, as you start to really tune in, and meditation might be a really good spot for some of these people to start to observe their thoughts. Because one of the challenges for a lot of us is when we're in the doing, you know, doing life, which most of us spend all day, every day doing, it's really hard to stop and acknowledge your thoughts. So it's in the being, the stillness, the silence, the solitude, that you will notice your thought processes. And often you're right in that if you've got a really strong soundboard who are honest with you no matter what, and that's that for a lot of people doesn't exist. I actually did this exercise with some clients 2 weeks ago. I was like, how many people have you got in your life that would tell you the absolute truth no matter what? And a lot of people are like, fuck, I don't think I've got anyone.
And you know what? I would agree with that. And I just, there's somebody, I don't believe in, I'm not a religious guy, but there's definitely somebody looking out for me. And I'll tell you this, my most favorite person in the whole world was my grandpa. He passed away when we were like early teenagers, like 13 or 14 or something. But then my wife has the exact same birthday as him. And she is the best thing that's ever happened to me, but she is one of these ones that will call me out on absolutely everything. She's probably been my best, no course, no book, no nothing. My wife has been my best personal development ever, because if I'm having some business troubles or something and I come out, she goes, all right, one day I heard you complaining about that. 2 days now you're whinging. What are you going to do about it? You know, and things like this, she, I'm like, oh, no, but this and this and this. She goes, yeah, but have you done anything? And I'm like, oh, okay. And then she'll help me like be really logical and factual with the things instead of being all like, because my entrepreneurial game is a roller coaster game. Seriously. And you can feel like you go up and down. And definitely my sounding board is her. And I don't know what I would do without it now. Like, honestly, now I seek it. Now I go out to her and go, hey, is this, am I being weird about this situation? Or am I not seeing something? Or am I being too nice? Am I being too aggressive on this? You know what I mean? And she's like, can literally be the one that will tell me if I'm not living up to my standards.
Well, the challenging thing when it comes to self-awareness is you've got two real strong types. You've got internal self-awareness and you've got external. So internal is how you see yourself, observation of thoughts, behaviors, feelings, whatever it may be. External is how you're perceived by other people. And while you don't necessarily want to get too attached to how you're perceived by other people, they can often see things about you that you can't see about yourself. So for example, your wife's a perfect example. You would have a level of barriers, blocks, blind spots, limiting beliefs that are actually stopping you from seeing the true version of you, where she can objectively see, well, I don't think this is working for you, or I can see this pattern that's kind of letting you down. So it's, you know, really valuable to have someone like that in your life. And often, you know, the wounded ego part of us will try to defend it. So we often defend, deflect, and we get into this kind of little wounded, you know, little boy, little girl situation.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah. But if you just sit with it, you know, initially you're going to have feelings that come up, and they might not be the feelings that you desire. But if you sit with it for, you know, an hour, a day, maybe even a week, and go, fuck, you know, you're right. You're actually right. That's a really good point. At the end of the day, they're a blessing. You know, and one of the really interesting things for a lot of the people that you work with as business owners are your three biggest teachers are also your three biggest triggers. And they are kids, family, and running your own business. They're always going to be your biggest triggers.
If you've got all three, got a big personal development program right there.
Mate, you've got you with all three have got the biggest personal development, you know, program you could ask for. And it's in those triggers that's a really good, you know, opportunity for inquiry. Why did it trigger me? You know, what did it bring up for me? And often it's just a mirror, you know. So if you look at a lot of the great philosophers, they're of the belief that relationships, you know, one of the core and fundamental elements of a relationship is for growth. So instead of, you know, a really good thing, reframing, so for those that haven't heard that term, kind of changing your perception on something, a really good way to reframe anything that goes wrong in, you know, go wrong, quote unquote, in your relationship is to look at it, you know, with a fresh set of eyes, e.g. reframing it of like, what's this bringing up for me? What's the lesson in this? Because your wife's just a mirror for you. She's just showing you your shit. It's not about her.
Yeah.
It's about you.
And you know what? It's so funny. Getting much better at it now, but I still have that wounded ego thing, as you said. That's why I was like, yeah, because I'll defend myself first straight away, always. I'll be like, nah, but because of this.
Yeah.
Nah, but no. And then she'll be like, no, this. And I'm like, oh, then maybe I'll cool off after like the emotions sort of simmer down a little bit from whatever might have happened. And then you're just like, oh, she's right.
Mate, an absolute blessing, you know, like it's an absolute blessing. And for a lot of us, we can't see it that way. I can speak firsthand from my last relationship. She would have told me all these same type of things, but I just, you know, I was in that wounded ego. I was in that kind of lack of awareness and lack, and essentially at the end of the day, lack of ownership of like, she could have been my greatest teacher. And post the relationship, she was, because it was a catalyst for me going up to a new level. But, you know, a lot of this work can be done in the relationship if you really step into that, you know, that awareness, that ownership, and see them essentially as the mirror for you.
Mm. Okay. And so I think it made me understand a little bit more for going back to one of the questions I had earlier was, oh, hey, where you start? Like, if you don't even know that you've got these problems, if you're like, like, I just, you know, I need to work on my member retention, or no, I just need to work on like, you know, my marketing or my sales or whatever it might be, maybe have a look at, you said the word triggers. So if stuff gets you like emotional, whether it's angry or upset or whatever, that's probably a good place to stop and go, oh, hold on, what's that?
Yep, mate, it's perfect. Anything, you know, the term I use is a heightened state. Okay. So anything that creates a heightened state within you is definitely opportunity for exploration. Because, you know, to give you a really simple example, let's say there's two people in front of me. I'm looking at them with the same eye contact, same tonality, same, you know, physiology, whatever it may be. And I call them both a dickhead. You know, one, water off a duck's back, forgets about it 5 minutes later. The other one, I catch up with 3 years later and they're still held on to, you know, the same statement. Nothing to do with me other than the fact I said the exact same thing to two people. But it's more what that word, what I, what, you know, that environment represents to them. You know, if they had a self-worth issue, or if for whatever reason they were silly enough to put me on a pedestal and valued my, you know, word more than anyone else's, then that would hit them in a different way. So everything that's happening for you, or even to reframe it, everything that's happening to you is actually happening for you if you can see it that way. And that's a significant reframe as well. Why is this happening for me? Well, why did bankruptcy happen for me? It was because I needed to get my shit together and understand my relationship with money. You know, why did the breakup of my relationship happen for me? Well, I had to go and do some deep soul searching around my relationship with, you know, women and the feminine. Like, it's all happening for me. And that can be really challenging in the moment to see it. And often you can't see it in the moment. It's very much a hindsight thing for a lot of us. But, you know, these can be blessings, whatever they look like.
So let's think of a more like tactical, not tactical, but more like business example.
Mm.
You run a gym. Why is 20 people just leave in 1 week? You know, like why am I, you know, signing one but losing two? Why are we going backwards? Well, that's a good question. And like, I think you said, how is this happening for me? It's not happening to me. Because I think the difference between the two, at least from how I see it for myself, whenever I look, because that's something I do quite a lot, is I never try and place the blame elsewhere now in my life. When I was younger, in my 20s, it was everybody else's fault.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. But now it's like, how is this happening for me? It's shining a spotlight on a weakness in your business, or shining a spotlight on a weakness in your process, or shining a spotlight on a weakness of you or your team or whatever it may be. But it's like saying, hey, it's like a warning light that's going off. Like, look at me. Something over here needs attention.
Mate, that's like, I couldn't have said it better myself. That's the perfect way to look at it. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's all good. Like, your marketing sucks, your sales sucks, your retention, whatever it is, it's just shining a spotlight on it. You don't have to kind of fall into this place of a pity party of like, oh, this is, you know, too hard, or I'm no good. Just like, this part of your business isn't working. You need to do things different.
And don't, something, confuse it. Something I'd love to get your thoughts on is me and a few friends call the term, we'll say that person's just an avoider. They're an avoider. Oh, look at classic avoider. Or we'll have statements like that. We'll even call each other out like that. We're like, because it like cuts deep, because now we're like, now we know like to take the ownership of stuff. You can see like, you know, when other people do this avoiding things, but what do you say to somebody that's like their typical default is to like, you know what, I'm just going to push that under the rug and hope that doesn't resurface, you know? What do you do with that?
Mate, on so many levels, it's going to resurface. You know, again, don't know where your listeners are in terms of this work, but, you know, whether it's what's known as shadow, so this is kind of some of the work that I do, the disowned part of you, but it, obviously that's kind of more personality traits. But essentially, you know, it's a similar kind of theme with business, is you can't hide from it.
Like your tax, for example, you can't just not pay tax.
Mate, you can't, because eventually they'll come after you and they'll sink your business. Yeah. So, it's, you know, ownership's, if I'm looking at how to build someone up from a kind of psychological point of view, awareness is the first step, because you can't own what you can't see. So that's really significant. You can't own what you can't see. And for a lot of us, there's a lack of awareness. So, you know, you need to be able to see it before you can own it and step into it. But, you know, there's real strength in just addressing it straight away, because it's just, it's chasing after you. It's like this leash that you've got, you know, wrapped around your ankle that's just following you everywhere you go with this massive ball and chain. So you might as well just address it straight away. And I know for a lot of business coaches, you know, some of the ones that I've worked with, they get you to dump on a monthly basis the things that aren't working for you, and just do them, get them out of the way. Like, deep down, you know, for all the business owners, deep down, you know, you're full of shit every time you try to kind of sweep something under the rug. You're living, you know, somewhat of a lie, or you're not addressing the real stuff. That's the reality, you know, like, we're all full of shit in some way and slightly deluded, which is also really scary, because it's in that delusion where you tell yourself that you're doing better than you are, or, you know, even at the opposite end of the scale, through a lack of self-worth, that these, you know, the internal game is represented externally. So if your internal game isn't working, whether it's self-belief, self-worth, you know, confidence, whatever it may be, it is going to reflect out in some way, whether it's the bank balance, whether it's the, you know, constant up and down of business, whether it's relationships that are falling apart, whatever it may be. If you look at your external world and you're not happy with it, I'd get you to seriously consider what's happening with your internal world.
Okay. And do you, I know you've sort of given a couple of little tips and pointers here, but have you got any like actionable stuff or things that people can do to start this sort of process of like, cool, I've got a, maybe I've got whatever problem I have in my business. What do you have, like a little sort of checklist or something that you'd be like, cool, step one, you've got to do this, step two, this, step three, this is like sort of the basics.
Well, coming from an awareness point of view, the first thing I would do is I'd probably set 3 alarms a day. And it would literally be a case of what am I feeling? What am I thinking? Or what am I doing? And for a lot of us, if you're thinking about being in or out of alignment, a lot of us are out of alignment, whether it's out of alignment with our values, but often out of alignment with our business. You said you were going to do an hour and a half of marketing. You've done 10 minutes or you've swept it under the rug. So are you in or out of alignment? And also having a level of understanding of like, what was it that pushed me off path? Because so much of what we do is autopilot. So let's say, for example, you know, I know you do the marketing for them, but let's say, for example, a business is doing marketing and they say that they're going to dedicate an hour and a half a day to it and they dedicate 15 minutes.
Let's say sales calls. That's probably a better one because
people fucking hate sales calls.
Yeah.
So what's the story you're telling yourself? Do you know what I mean? Like, let's say you meant to, perfect example. You meant to do an hour and a half of sales calls and after 15 minutes, you decide to go and play on Instagram. What's the story you're telling yourself? What happened in that moment that switched you to another direction? And when you start to have a level of awareness and you're really starting to pick up your stories, your behaviors, your thoughts, then you can challenge those thoughts and come back into alignment. But you need to be able to challenge those thoughts because our automatic response is to buy into the excuse, to buy into the story. We're amazing storytellers. We can tell ourselves any story, justify it, and at times actually on a deep level believe it.
It's bananas, right?
Yeah.
And I suppose if you do that enough, that's where it becomes an actual belief, right?
100%. Those stories become a belief and often lead to you becoming quite delusional and getting really poor results. So I think, you know, on a really basic level, your numbers tell a good story. You know, whether you're looking at marketing, sales, you know, operations, you know, your product, your team, you know, do your team keep coming in and out? Like the people that you're, you know, employing, are you putting out spot fires the whole time? You know, is your sales percentage at 20-30%? Is your marketing only getting a couple of leads? Like, you know, you're looking at those. And I know a guy called Scott Olford adds mindset as the sixth pillar. Look at those. Like they're telling a good story. Do you know what I mean? It's no surprise. Again, the universe is delivering it for you out there going, mate, you've had 6 leads this month, or you've had, you know, you're converting at 20%. What you're doing isn't working for you. Do you know what I mean? So like look at the results and then look at the stories that you're telling yourself around that as well.
That's actually a really good way to summarize that. Look at your results. So get your stats, get your data. If we're talking a practical business example, get your data because the data is unemotional. It's just numbers. Yep. It's just facts and figures, right? But then it's our interpretation of what we think is happening there. That's the second step. So step one, get your data. Step two, what's the story you're telling yourself about that data?
Well, I think, you know, and you've obviously spent a lot of time probably analyzing the way people go about business. But I think when they, you know, for a lot of people, you've got to work out what your you know, your automatic go-to is. So for example, if their numbers aren't working for them, is it a case of avoiding it, which is a massive one, the one that you spoke of? Is it a case of like being delusionally positive of like just expecting that it's going to change? Oh, look, we'll just keep going. It'll just get better. Mate, your system hasn't worked for 3, 6, 12 months. It's not just going to all of a sudden magically start working. You need to change it. Or are you really analyzing it and going, okay, so this approach isn't working for us. What do we do? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I think the other two options, ignore and avoid or blissful ignorance, are probably the two defaults for a lot of people. And the actual sitting with it in the pain of going, this isn't working for us, isn't the go-to option for a lot of people. So, you know, those moments are the fork in the road of like, oh, I'm just going to avoid the fact that my fucking marketing isn't working for the last 6 months and just push it back. Let's concentrate on, you know, posting better quality videos on Instagram and see if that works.
Six months later, it is funny. You hear things like that, right? Where people will go, this happened, so I'm going to do this. And then from people that are experienced in a field, like using your marketing example, it's like, how do you think that was going to result in more customers or more clients or whatever it may be? And it's funny when, because genuinely they were like, that's the solution. That's the solution. But they didn't take the time to look at the numbers and then look at the reasoning behind why they made that decision. You know? And so that's actually, I see that quite a lot actually being on my side of things, like, yeah, look, we're just going to focus on doing this and this. I'm like, sweet. So how long how's that been working out for you? And they're like, well, actually, we've been doing that for 6 months and we've got nothing. I was like, cool. So you're going to carry on doing that? And they're like, oh. And so when you talk to them about it like that, they're like, actually, no, that's probably not a good idea. But
they're two really good questions that you kind of were leaning into as well. It's like, is this working for me? And is there a better way to do it?
Totally.
Really helpful questions.
Okay. And so this is starting to get into, obviously, this is the peak performance side of things and mindset. We've touched on those two things. What do you say to somebody? Because personal fulfillment is the third pillar of your major part of what you do. We've been talking about problems and avoidance, and we're talking about all that sort of stuff. What about the flip side of this? What about to somebody that's like, you know what? I started my business because I love fitness. Now I fucking hate it, and I hate working out. And what do you say to somebody that feels like they've sort of lost the passion and the zest for just life, not like depression, but like the people that are like just sort of feel like they're grinding through it and there's no days where they're like, fuck yeah, like I'm having a good day.
Mate, I think that tells the best, again, you know, if we come back to the universe again, whether you're, you know, spiritual, religious, whatever it may be, the universe will always tell you a really good story. And that was the same thing for me, you know, in my last year of running a fitness business, I didn't wake up with that passion. You know, for 15 out of 16 years, I woke up passionate about it. And, you know, anyone who's been, you know, had a career will know that that's a pretty good return rate, you know, to wake up with passion 15 out of 16 years. And I think even for a lot of people who have never woken up with that passion, it's almost like, is this dude like full of shit? Do you actually wake up on Monday morning excited? But true story, you know, and you would have experienced it and, you know, a number of people that you work with, like when you are aligned, you wake up with passion. Your Monday to Friday is as good, sometimes even better than your Saturday and Sunday, because you're living a life that's really aligned and, you know, in sync with your values. And one of the things I would say, if these guys are trying to get clear on potentially even their niche, and a simple switch of niches can sometimes for these guys be significant.
Interesting. Meaning, just for people that might not know what he's talking about, if you're training anybody and everybody, just look at your client list and go, who are the people that are sucking the life out of me?
Yeah.
And who are the people I could just like sit down, have a coffee or have a beer with?
Mm.
And get more of those people and get rid of those other ones.
Oh, mate, niche is so big. You know, and for me, it's so easy to do probably in your first 12 to 18 months of just take everyone on. And I completely understand that as a process. And I'm not sure, you know, what you're teaching around that. But when you really start to dial in on your niche, you love those people, you know. And for me, when I was running 6 weeks of Sexy and 6 weeks of Shredded, which, you know, we were fortunate enough to do really well in Sydney, I loved everyone that came in. And there was no right or wrong, but for me, I didn't want to train rehab. I didn't want to train the elderly. I didn't want to train really, you know, heavily overweight, and there's zero wrong with those groups. They're just not the ones that I was most passionate about. So as soon as you really start to dig deep into your niche, and often, you know, for these guys worth remembering, is that your niche will often come from your values. So if you don't know your values, a really important exercise to do, and your values will actually often stem from, you know, peak, painful or pivotal moments in your early years, which I call the origin story. So if you're looking at, you know, 0 to 25, what were the key moments in your life and what did they represent? Well, for me now, in my second kind of passionate area, you know, I struggled to fit in, you know, so there's a big part for me of challenging the status quo in the system. You know, I really struggled at home in terms of a really unhealthy home environment. So there's a real interest in, you know, domestic violence, mental health, mental illness. I've got a family of alcoholics. I'm really drawn to addictions. Or everything that drives me on a daily basis stems from some kind of peak moment or pivotal, or a lot of them quite painful moments. So if you're feeling flat, to really unpack the passion, and people like you and I can see it, you know, like we can talk to someone and we see their eyes light up, and almost, you know, at times you're trying to get them to stop talking because they're just on a roll. But those are the moments where you really start to solidify and make sense of what is the deep driver for you. And when you live in a life in alignment with that, no, you know, everyone would have heard it before, but, you know, work isn't work. It's fun, and it should actually energize you. If you're living in alignment, you can wake up a little bit tired, a little bit groggy, and by living in alignment with your values, they actually give you energy.
So, yes, I agree 100%. Yeah. I think that when people used to say, well, if you get your passion, you'll never fucking work a day in your life, I was like, yeah, you're a wanker. Like, what are you talking about? This is obviously before I started running my own business. This was when I was in my 20s. I started the fitness game for the fitness industry kind of late. I was like 28 when I started, which most people start when they're like 20 or 18 or something. But I remember that, and that was kind of fun. But now, like, the thing that led me to where I am now is, even during that phase of learning the stuff about my own business, the fitness business, the business side of things, the marketing side of things, and the sales side of things, they were the things that really gave me the juice, the zest for life, you know? And even now, like, man, I'm up early. I'm on the computer, not because I have to, because I'm like, fuck, I really want to check this out, this new bit of training material. Like, I'm still educating every day about stuff on marketing. And most people might think of marketing want to like shoot themselves because like it's boring. I'd rather watch paint dry or something. But for me, it fills me up. Like, it gives me like, and I find if I have too long a period where I'm not like filling the knowledge cup up, so to speak, I start to get a bit like, feel a bit blah.
Mate, 100%. Like, you and I are big on growth, and our growth looks, it's the same for me, mate. Like, my number one value is growth, and I could be in hospital really sick, but I'd have my Kindle by my side.
Oh, dude, 100%.
Yeah.
You're speaking my language here.
So that's really important. And this kind of comes back to the self-discovery and, you know, self-awareness to a certain degree. If you don't know yourself, then you might not know what lights you up. And I've worked with a stack of people who, you know, lived that kind of sedated, suppressed, you know, at some stage depressed life, often from a place of, you know, lack of understanding of themselves. And when we find the spark, we find the fire, the world changes. And you actually owe it definitely to yourself and to the people around you to do this kind of work, because you're the best version of you when you know what you stand for and what really lights you up. So, you know, not only do you owe it to your partner, you owe it to your clients, you owe it to everyone around you.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree. And so to go, just to recap a couple of bits and pieces, if you've got any sort of problems, let's say business problems, that's what we've been talking about. First of all, have a look at like, what's the things that your business are trying to tell you? If there's bad stuff going on, like repeatedly, it's like, you know, okay, what's it trying to tell you? That's that awareness piece. If there's an emotional trigger of something where you're feeling like, if it's angry or upset or whatever about something, like that's the time to stop and go, oh, cool. Like, and assess it. Right.
100%.
And then the other big part you're talking about was values. Can you recap a little bit about, like, somebody's going there, cool, I've heard the values thing. Like, even for me, up until just recently, I used to think values was something that was just a little bit like, meh, you know, whatever. People just talk about it. Like, I used to call it a bit corporate wank, right?
Yeah.
Cool, have you got the values and the mission statement on the wall and you're fucking, yeah, you're just like, what? I just used to grind my gears. But now I get it, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. But how would you say to somebody who's like, how do I find my values? Because you said these pivotal moments in your life, but like give somebody like an actionable process to go through it.
So, you know, there's a number of questions that you can kind of ask yourself. And, you know, I've actually got 13, maybe I can give it to you actually as an exercise for them to do. I've got 13 questions that you ask yourself and it really helps you kind of bring them out. So if they, you know, I don't know if you put them in show notes or how you want to go about it, but I'm happy to give that to you. But essentially, where do you spend your time? You know, like if you had 2 hours, what would you choose to do? For me, I would read, I'd exercise, you know, I'd do some business stuff. What do you spend your money on? You know, I would be able to tell what your values are if I looked at your last 3 months P&L, and probably similar to you, you're spending it on courses, you know, maybe even some equipment for podcasts, whatever it may be. You know, what lights you up? What do you love talking about? You know, get me on a conversation like this and I can chew the ear off anyone. You know, get me talking about, you know, architecture and I'll go and, you know, fall asleep or sit in the corner because it doesn't interest me. You know, go and, you know, what do you, what energizes you? Again, this conversation energizes me. You know, if I was having it at 9 o'clock at night, I'd probably struggle to, you know, wind down before I go to sleep. So I've got 13 questions that really help you get clear on that. And then it becomes about your value hierarchy. So what's the order look like? Because you're going to have, you know, for people that talk about struggling with motivation, you're going to have motivation for your highest value. Me, motivation when it comes to health and fitness or even personal growth, never a problem. As I go further down the list, yeah, it becomes more of a problem. You know, you're going to have success and motivation in the top five and then it starts to kind of fade away a little bit.
That's true, so, man. That's like, say for like business stuff for me, of course, marketing stuff, love it. Then if you start putting in like mowing the lawn, fuck, I'll avoid that shit like for weeks on end if I could. I have to mow it every 7 days or at the moment. And that just like, that just drains the life from me. I get it. That makes really good sense. So like sort of then put them in order and then that's however you feel like you have the most motivation for, that's how you know that's number one.
100%. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Blake, is there anything else that you want to share with the guys about these topics to sort of put a nice little bow on it at the end?
Mate, I think the big thing, you know, whether it's their business, you know, I would hope and assume that a lot of these guys are into fitness, is, you know, you put so many hours into your fitness, you put so many hours into your business. And for a lot of us, we put very few hours into mindset. And, you know, if these are three pillars for a lot of these guys, I would imagine, and they're obviously not the only pillars, you know, I know a lot of them have got families and things like that, but I would heavily consider working on the mindset element, because I can guarantee you can have all the tools, but if there's a lack of self-worth, there's self-sabotage, then you're going to find a way to, you know, not really capitalize on the skills that you may have. So, you know, skills and mindset can be different. So, you know, I would really consider increasing that self-awareness, looking at books around mindset, finding the people that most resonate with you around mindset. I think that's a really big thing. And I'm sure, you know, a reason they work with you was because they resonate. And that's super important. So really important to understand the value in the mindset element.
Awesome. Yeah, I do think that that's a great point, because you might spend a lot of time looking at the latest types of training programs, the latest type of periodization on nutrition protocols, and maybe like pieces of equipment to put in your gym, like all that really cool stuff. But then don't take that. You maybe like the mindset thing might be like, oh, cool, I'll meditate. Oh, I actually didn't have time. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that tomorrow. Like, and it's probably it's one of the key, as you said, pillars to being successful in business, because that's where it all starts.
Yeah,
like it starts 100%. With the mindset, as you made the example, I think, with the fitness clients. So if they're coming in and they're struggling to like even stick to a diet for one day, well, that's a mindset thing. It's not like a knowledge piece, right?
Yeah.
She's got the nutrition plan. She's got the support from the coach there, but she's not implementing, or he's not implementing because of stuff that's happening internally, right?
100%. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Blake, this has been, I could chat for hours on this. I'm sure we probably will as soon as we stop pushing record on here. But for the guys and girls that are listening, they're like, man, that guy's pretty cool. I want to know a little bit more about you. Where can they find about you?
Mate, the best spots would be Instagram, Blake Royal Thompson, long name. But, yeah, track me down there. And, yeah, I think the big thing, you know, I've always been a big believer, whether, you know, you're working with a coach or not, is to always find the right person that resonates with you. So I think it's always good to sit with someone and just feel them out and then, you know, make a decision from there. But there's always someone out there for you in terms of the right fit for both people. And that's important to be able to uncover.
Awesome. All right. And so I'm going to say it slower. Blake Worrell Thompson on Facebook. Blake Worrell Thompson, if you want to go and check him out. And dude, thanks so much for coming on. And I'm going to spruik my shit. It's my podcast, so I'm going to do that as well. So if you listen to this and you're like, that's cool, but I want somebody to do my marketing as well, so you can be in the things, like if maybe, as you said, the things that don't give you motivation is marketing is down on the bottom of the list, then hit us up. I want gymleads.com. You can go and see everything that we got over there. Blake, thanks for coming on, dude. And everybody, I'll see you on the next episode.
Cheers, brother.